We'll give you a second. I'm not going to give you too long.
Very good.
All right, you got your Bibles. Let's turn to St. John chapter 6. I'd like to thank my preacher for giving me the opportunity to get up in front of you all and share the Word of God this evening. Never take that lightly.
Right.
Still hear pages turning. We'll start in verse number 1 of St. John chapter 6. It says, "After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude following him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for the day. We just thank you for another chance to stand in front of your people to read your word and to deliver a message that I believe you've given me. Lord, I pray that you bless it. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's lost, that they see the need to get saved before it's eternally too late. It's in Jesus' name I pray and amen. Well, I'm going to start out by saying our God is a problem solver. Do y'all believe that?
Yes, sir.
Jesus performed many miracles when he was here with his earthly ministry. And these miracles were to prove who he was. Let's look at St. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. John's writing this and says, And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing ye may have life through his names. These miracles not only proved that Jesus was God, but we also got to stop and think about who the miracle was performed on and how big of a help it was to them.
Right.
All throughout Jesus' ministry, we have people bringing Jesus their problems. His first miracle of turning the water into wine, Jesus' mother knew that Jesus could fix the problem. I always thought of that as a strange miracle. As I heard about that, why would he even care? It wasn't my party, though.
Right.
I ain't the one that ran out of drink.
Right.
And it's not talking about intoxicating wine. It's talking about grape juice. But to those people, that's a great problem. If I had a huge wedding party and invited the whole neighborhood and I ran out of food or drink, that'd be a disaster, wouldn't it? What would the talk of the town be for how many years to come? It would have been a great embarrassment to these people. So this miracle, did it mean something to them? It sure did.
Yeah.
But it wasn't only for the governor of the feast, the one that had the wedding. Everyone was witness to this. And from there, his fame grew. Next, he healed a nobleman's son. And the result of that was the nobleman and his whole family believed.
Yeah.
They were saved. They believed. But for the nobleman's son, It was even greater than that, right?
Yeah.
Next, he cast out an unclean spirit. It says all the people were amazed. They said, "What thing is this?" And immediately his fame spread abroad. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. And when people saw that, guess what they did? So they brought him more.
Yeah. Right.
We've got more that needs healed. The miracles were proving who he was. He caught the multitude of fish. That was to show Peter, James, and John.
Yeah.
It says that they were astonished. Why were they astonished? They had fished all night. Professional fishermen.
Yeah.
Fishermen. Fished all night. Caught nothing with a net and a ship. Jesus borrows their boat, preaches a message that says, "Let's go fishing, boys."
Yeah.
Peter, of course, "Whatever you say, Lord, it's not going to work. We've tried it all night long, and we're the experts."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We always tell God we know what we're doing a lot of times, right?
Yeah.
What's Jesus say? "Hey, throw it out now." And it almost sinks the boat.
Yeah.
Because they catch so many. Peter, James, and John were astonished. He healed the man with leprosy, and great multitudes came to hear and to be healed. He healed the centurion's servant. He healed the sick of the palsy that was lowered through the roof. And because of that, one of his disciples, Levi, followed him after he'd seen that. He healed the withered hand. He raised the widow's son. He calmed the sea.
Right.
He heals the maniac. He heals the woman with the issue of blood. He raises Jairus' daughter. He heals the two blind men. He heals the dumb. He heals the invalid.
Right.
He walks on the water. He heals the sick in Gennesaret. He heals the demon-possessed daughter. He heals a deaf and dumb man. He feeds the hungry.
Yeah.
Not once, twice.
Yeah.
He heals a blind man again. He pays a tax with a coin from a fish's mouth. He heals the 10 lepers. He raises Lazarus from the dead. He healed blind Bartimaeus. He restored the servant's severed ear. And he told the disciples, the last one, to cast the net on the other side again.
Yeah.
All these were done to prove that he was who he said he was,
yeah,
that he was God, that Jesus is God.
Yeah, good.
Did you ever go back and notice in some of these miracles that Jesus used some helpers?
That's good.
When he turned the water into wine, what did he have the people do? Fill the pots.
Yeah.
When he wanted to go fishing, who did he have run the boat? Did he get, "Hey, y'all get out of the boat, I'm going to do it"? No. Peter, James, and John ran the boat. They even cast the nets, didn't they?
Right.
Who worked the miracle, though? The four men that ripped the roof off and brought the sick of the palsy to Jesus. Do you think Jesus knew where that sick man was and knew he needed to be healed? Could have Jesus just walked down the road and done that? But who did he use?
That's good.
He had Peter catch the fish to pay the tax. He told him, "Hey, go." Peter ran his mouth about it, right? So, "Hey, Peter, I want you to go down to the sea and take a hook and a line and catch a fish. And in that fish, you're going to find the coin to pay the tax with." Now, I understand he asked Peter, he's a professional fisherman, he didn't ask Zach back here, he wouldn't have caught one. The tax wouldn't have got paid. He told the people to take the stone away from Lazarus' grave.
Yeah.
And then he told them to loose him when he came out from the grave clothes.
That's good.
Then he told the disciples to cast the net on the other side. I got a question. Did Jesus need any of these people to do that part?
No.
But he desired it.
Right.
He desired it. And he even commands us to.
Yeah.
Well, back to our text. Jesus notices a need. And before I get started on this, do you know that this really happened?
Yeah.
It really happened.
Right. Amen.
Anything, everything we read in this Bible literally happened. It is true. This is not just a tall tale. Now, it doesn't give every single account. It's only 14 verses. This event probably happened all afternoon or all evening. It took a while. But when you all read your Bible, is it real to you? I mean, do you make it real? When you read any story,
yeah.
I mean, do you put yourself in there and try to see everything that's going on? Wouldn't that have been amazing to have been there?
Yeah, it would. Yes, it would.
But that's how I like to read my Bible. When I read it, hey, I want to put myself there. I want to see it like it's happening.
Yeah.
It's kind of like New Man, as I can see it like it's happening right now. In verse 5, it says, when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company. Come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? I think about that question as Jesus asked it. Makes me think about my preacher. It's kind of a loaded question, I think. When Jesus asked that question, what would it have been like to see the panic set in on those disciples' faces? What does he want us to do? How many people were there? Verse 21 says, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Now that means 5,000 men, some of them were probably single, a lot of them were married, some of them may not have had kids, some of them may. But I had to Google, because they know better source than Google, right? What was the average size of a family in that area in Jesus' time? And they said a common peasant family, which was the common folk, had between 4 and 8 children. So we go from 5,000, or we've multiplied a few times. There's several thousand people there.
Yeah.
How would you like to have been one of 12 and they said, hey, we're going to feed these people?
Yeah.
Kind of like when the preacher says, hey, there's this many people in Summersville, if we want them all.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So what do you think went through the disciples' mind? Oh my goodness. Oh my, what are we going to do? So, one of them makes a statement. Hey, if we had 200 penny worth of, if we had 200 pennies to buy bread with, a penny is not just a small amount in Bible days. It was a day's wage. If they had a lot of money, where were they going to buy enough stuff to feed these people? They were where? Out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't have the drive-thru at McDonald's.
Right.
They didn't have Wendy's or Chick-fil-A. There was nothing there. So what are they going to do? The 12 disciples, I can see them frantically going through the crowd. Does anybody have anything that we can use to feed these people? And Andrew stumbles across somebody as he's asking, hey, does anybody have any food? And who do they find that has a little bit of food? A young boy. You know, having children, their minds work a little different than ours.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember we were having a little bit of financial problems. It wasn't big time, but it seemed like everything we had was falling apart. Vehicles wore out. This is a long time ago. Levi was little. It's like, we're going to have to buy something, and we ain't got nothing to buy nothing with. And Levi heard us talking about it. He said, well, you can use my money. I've got money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Did he mean that?
Sure.
Yes, he did. Did he have enough to help? No, he didn't have enough to help. But his, in his mind, he could help.
Yes. Yes.
He had faith like a what? Like faith like a child.
Yes, amen.
I can see that little boy. When Andrew is asking, hey, does anybody have anything to help Jesus with? Hey, I got it. I got a lunch.
Yeah.
I got this lunch. You can have it.
Yeah.
Hey, you can have this. I want you to have it. Give this to Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
Jesus wasn't a secret. What were they there to see? These people were there to see Him do miracles. They knew He could do great things. What does this, was His disciples thinking? Hey, we're in a jam. This ain't going to work. We're in trouble. But this little boy, hey, take this to Jesus. This is going to help. Help. It's going to help. This will work. And what did he have in that little bag? 5 little buns, 2 small fishes, enough for 4 sandwiches, right? How many thousand? I don't know how many thousand people were there. But Simon, I can see, that ain't going to work. Anybody else have anything? A little boy following him, hey, take this to Jesus. Take this to Jesus. Give Jesus this. I can see it happening. Kid, leave me alone, right? Does anybody else have anything to eat that we can feed these people with? Little boy, me, I've got some.
Yeah.
Well, Simon, he searches, finds nobody else. So he finally brings the boy to Jesus. In verse 8, it says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And he shows his faith here. But what are they among so many? This ain't going to work, Jesus.
Yeah.
Let's see what Jesus says. In the next verse, make the men sit down.
Yeah, I love it. That's good.
Now much grass was in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had been eaten.
Right.
He took that little boy's lunch, and they prayed over it, and they blessed it, and they broke it. They broke it and passed it out, and it fed everybody till they were filled. And then they gathered up 12 baskets. And I can just see that little boy again. Just sitting over there looking at Andrew. Told you so.
Yeah.
Told you.
Yeah.
See? I told you. Jesus can do it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he can do it.
Now, it's funny that the mighty preacher in this case should have been who? One of the disciples, the one who believed Jesus the most should have been who? One of the 12? But who was it? It was the lad.
Yes, amen. Amen.
What can we learn from this little boy? Well, number one, he simply believed.
Yes, amen.
He just trusted Jesus could do it.
Yes, amen.
What was he there to see? Miracles.
Right.
I come to see miracles. Here it is.
Yeah.
Here, Jesus, do it.
Right, do it.
Here it is, do it.
That's good.
How did he just believe? Well, Luke 18:17 says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein.
Yeah.
He believed and trusted Jesus, and Jesus worked a miracle.
Yes, amen.
We not only have to come as a child, we have to continue to believe and trust like a child. We can learn a lot from our kids. Just like we can that young boy right there, how much he trusted Jesus. Second thing we can learn from this young man was he was better prepared than most. He had something to give because someone else had invested in him. He had that little basket of lunch. I'd say he had a good mama that packed him that lunch before he left on his journey. She prepared him well for his journey. Have you ever had anyone help you prepare for your spiritual journey?
Yeah.
Your Christian journey? Maybe a godly mom and dad? Maybe godly grandparents that prayed and taught you?
Yeah.
Well, guess what they were doing? They were packing your lunch.
Amen.
We have a great preacher here. He packs my lunch. If you'll pay attention, he'll pack your lunch. He's going to give us provision for our journey. all the other preachers in here that stand up here, Brother Rick, Brother Dennis, Brother Matt, Brother Jason, Brother Rick. Brother Rick's not in here. All of you, thank you.
Yeah.
You teach us so much. If we'll just listen,
right.
It's there.
Yeah.
Put it in my bag. Pack my lunch. Sunday school teachers. Think of Miss Carolyn right there. How many lunches has she packed?
Wow.
Miss Donna back there, how many lunches has she packed?
Amen.
Brother Rick, how many lunches has he packed?
Yeah.
You know, I've had some people pack some stuff for me.
Sure.
Brother Butch, I hope he's listening here tonight. Brother Butch, you packed my lunch. Taught me so much.
Yeah.
Long time ago, my mom and dad that brought me upright, they packed my lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's good. Somebody might have a bus driver. Or bus captain.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've thrown some things in that lunch bag.
Yes, sir.
Your children church teachers,
right.
Your special forces teachers, your Bible study teachers. Hey, all of these people have invested into your spiritual life. Does this really happen? Can they invest in your life? Can we think of somebody in the Bible that can prove that, hey, somebody can? Let's look at Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes.
Paul wrote two books of the Bible to Timothy.
Right.
Was Timothy his begotten son?
Yeah.
No. But he was a son in the faith.
Yeah.
So, Paul invested a lot into Timothy. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And he says, I pray for you day and night, Timothy.
Right.
Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, listen to this, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul invested a lot in, but was Paul the only one that invested in Timothy? It started with who? His grandma. He had a godly grandma that put, that instilled into Timothy the good things. Did it stop with his grandma? No, it was his mother. His mother as well instilled things in Timothy. They packed his lunch for him to do great things. But what else can we learn from the lad? He just gave what he had.
Yeah. Yes, amen. That's good.
And Jesus used just what the lad gave.
Yeah.
Verse number 11 in John chapter 6, it says, And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and to the disciples, to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When the little boy gave his lunch, Jesus didn't say, "This all you got?"
Right. Right.
These fishes are this small? We need big fish. Can you go get me some big fish? I need more than five. Is this bread gluten free?
Yeah.
Jesus did not complain about what was given. He does the same for us. What little bit we do, is that all you got? Is that all you can do? I want more. Can I have it? I need more right now or I'm not going to accept it. Is that the way Jesus treats us? No, He treats us just like the young lad.
Amen.
He gave what He had and Jesus used what He had. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 10 and 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Hey, God says if you can talk, what does He want you to do? Talk.
Yeah.
Talk about me. Tell others. Hey, if you can do a work for somebody else, if I've given you the ability to help someone, what does He want you to do?
Yeah.
He wants you to do it. He wants you to help them. Just the way you are, right?
Yes, sir.
He's called me to preach. I get to preach. He didn't say, hey, you're too dumb to preach. You're going to have to go to college and get your doctorate and get the best grades in the class, and then we'll see if you'll measure up. That's not what He said.
Right.
Here it is. Do it. Here's what you got. Use it.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
That's good.
But another thought about this young man. What if this young man didn't believe Jesus could do it? They couldn't use his lunch, and he just hid it. Would this miracle still happen?
Probably not.
Probably not. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 54 through 58. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? We can see all the things he's doing. But is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph, and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. And verse 58, and he did not many mighty works there because of their what?
Unbelief.
That is right. From that passage of Scripture we read about the young man, how many people there actually showed faith? The one little boy. You can't tell me that in all that group of people, that little boy was the only one that had something to eat. I mean, I know me. I ain't going nowhere unless I have something to eat or planning on eating.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So when those disciples were saying, hey, does anybody have anything? What were some of them doing?
Yeah.
Nope. I don't have nothing. I might need that later. Yeah. Right? I don't think you're going to be able to feed this crowd with that.
Think about that.
But that one little lad.
It's
the same way with us serving God. If we don't believe it's going to happen, guess what? It's probably not going to happen. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We're going to have to be bold.
Yes, sir.
We're going to have to trust in Him.
Yes, sir.
Just that, like that little lad, hey, I got lunch. Take my lunch.
Yeah.
It'll work.
Yeah,
Andrew didn't believe it. But He wants us to not... We don't have to give this great, big, elaborate service. He wants you to use what you've got.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to end with a story here. This is a story about an unnamed usher at a 1934 tent revival led by evangelist Mordecai Ham in Charlotte, North Carolina. He happened to see two 14-year-old boys walk into an evening service. And they didn't see two seats together, so they turned to walk away. Turned to leave, two 14-year-old boys. When he ran to meet them and told them he could find them two seats together, he went and asked some people to fill in, to take up some empty seats. And those two young boys, he talked them into staying. The two 14-year-old boys. So they stayed. for the service that night in the tent meeting. As a result of staying, both gave their lives to Christ that night. These two boys' names were Grady Wilson and Billy Graham. Graham went on to become a famous evangelist, preaching to millions, and Wilson helped him organize his crusades. The usher's action. An usher saw the boys leaving. And today we don't even know what the man's name is. Without his name being remembered, ran after them and found them two seats together. The outcome, the boys stayed. During the service, both Billy Graham and Grady Wilson gave their lives to Christ.
Yeah.
But think of the impact of that man finding two young boys a
right.
seat.
Right.
Yep. He didn't preach a message to them.
No.
Right. He didn't present the gospel to them. He didn't come up with this grand, elaborate plan to invite them to church. He simply did his job. What's an usher do? Find you a seat.
Right.
So he gave what he had. And look how the Lord blessed it.
Yes, sir. That's good. That's good.
How are you using what you have?
Yeah, that's good, preacher.
I don't really think it's not enough. It's not enough. I can't, preacher, I can't do that job you want done. I ain't got enough.
Yeah.
God, I can't do that. I ain't got enough. Or is it, hey, I got this. You want it, Lord? Yeah. I'll give it to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it tonight? Preacher.
Tonight. Yeah. What are you going to do with it? Let's stand together. Let's sing.